Buddy, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show, going adjacent this week. Not quite G.I. Joe, not quite Transformers, but we got Gem. Welcome to Halloween season, everybody. I'm excited to be here. I'm hoping you are too. This is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Race to Canis.
What was that bullshit intro? Oh my God, it is as bad as the theme song from this week's episode.
Chan, save it for the podcast. Oh.
Yeah, we're on the podcast now.
Oh, so yeah.
I can stop ranting at you people in the chat and actually rant in person.
It's the only real reason to see anyone these days in person is to scream at them in person.
Because it Russian, really does feel better. Yeah. If we can. I'm Robert Clark Chan.
I'm Gina Ippolito.
And we're finally to Halloween themed episodes, and we're starting not where we thought we were going to start, but we're starting with Gem, Trick or Tech Rat from season 2.
I know.
It's about damn time. It's October 10th. We should have watched 10 cartoon episodes by now.
I mean, look, if we're really good, Chan will get this up to me, and we'll get it up tonight for the people on Friday.
Well, here's the thing. That's it appears a challenge. Somebody is bailing on recordings because they're too tired or they have to work or something. So I don't know who that would be.
First of all, I was the second one to bail. Ray was the first one to bail.
Really?
Yeah, remember he was the reason we changed it to Tuesday.
Wow.
And then Gina bailed when we moved it to Tuesday. That's right.
Yeah, we were supposed to do Thursday. Ray bailed on Thursday. And then I had a real excuse. I forget what Ray's excuse was. I hope it's not something bad.
It wasn't very good, apparently.
I have cancer. This is.
Well, you know, if I did, I still wouldn't bail on the show.
I mean, listen, what else do you have to do at that point than podcast?
Thank you.
We're our own make-a-wish is what we're saying.
Oh, God. That would be the saddest.
The saddest, yeah.
All I want is to record a podcast with Gina, Ray, and Chan.
Oh, my Surely God. Someone who watches your break room show must feel that way. You laugh, but we'll find that person.
Find that poor sick little kid. I was on the break room with some others. We were doing our horror movie bracket. See, that's on YouTube. We did it live on Twitch, but it's on YouTube if you want to watch it. And at Touchdown Timmy 1 tweeted at me after that performance, after that show. I was dressed up like Wednesday Addams. I got all dressed up. The boys were in t-shirts, as boys usually
Ray,
are.
How's the story going to end? Is it going to end super creepy, or is it going to be a happy ending where gentlemen are being kind and
Chan, we've heard enough of these stories over the years that I'm just waiting for the twist that makes me uncomfortable.
Okay. All right. You may continue, Gina.
At Touchdown Timmy, tweet at me. You are quite possibly my favorite human of all time. You are the coolest. And yes, Cabin in the Woods is fucking awesome.
Okay. This is good.
Yeah.
So far, so good.
I responded, thank you. And he said, you're welcome. The least I could do. You're seriously amazing. Never seen a girl into blood and swearing and everything filth like you.
Girl.
It's great. And to top it all off, you're drop dead gorgeous. You're one of a kind. Hashtag Gino is right. And I feel like everything filth needs to be at the top of my resume. Everything filth.
It's why you're not getting read for Hulu shows.
Wait
a minute. She is also filthy? She can say bad words? I was unaware that women could do that.
Did you not direct him to this show where you say filth every week?
Listen, I can't be expected to put in the work to make to let people find me places. A quick Google search reveals the 8,000 things that I do every day.
Yeah, it gets lost in the shuffle. This is my point.
Yeah, I mean, if you were still on Twitter, you could tweet at him and say, "Hey, listen to this podcast." But
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with this.
Instead, you're on the worst site where people post things that are absolutely insane.
What, Mastodon?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. Nobody posts anything on Mastodon. Lord. Anyway, Jem, and my first thing was a disappointment. Disappointment upon watching the show.
Yep.
Because I came in, like, I'm not even kidding. This is real. I sat down, put on the headphones to watch Jem, and being like, let's effing go. I'm ready to rock out to the intro. I hyped myself up to watch the intro and... Jen, can you just play it? Can you just play it?
Me and my friends are Jem girl.
That's it. That's all you're getting. That's all you need. The whole rest of the song is just like that, and it is not at all.
You should
like,
play a little more.
What? It's
play
just
a little more. Listen, we all had the same reaction to this.
Yes.
I think Chan chatted, I responded, and then Ray said it's in my notes. Because season two theme song changed and it sucks. Cause I had the same thing. And then I thought maybe because, you know, like you go back and you watch Dawson's Creek and these days you don't hear, I don't want to wait for our lives to be over. You hear some other bullshit lady who's singing her bullshit because like they couldn't get the rights to it. So for a second, I was like, wait, does someone else own the Jem theme song?
Oh my God, that'd be amazing.
like I was like, oh, is oh this some... God.
Is Did the some... Misfits steal the steal the trademark from her?
God, yeah, they were like, no, not on Tubi, sir. Not on Tubi. You only license this for broadcast TV. So I Googled Jem theme song change. I mean, a lot of stuff came up. So clearly people had very strong opinions about it.
Yeah.
And then on the Wikipedia page, it says like, yes, in season two, they changed it, which I don't know why you would change such a banger. And also throughout, they would play the instrumental version of the original theme song.
Well, I can explain that. That they didn't want to pay more money. Sorry, Chan, go ahead.
No. The end music is the Jem music.
And for anyone who forgets, it's Jen is truly outrageous, truly, truly, truly outrageous.
Quite honestly,
Misfits, our songs are bitter.
Thank you. This is what I wrote here. Our songs are bitter. Will Chan say it? The answer is yes.
Yes.
It's our songs are better.
It's better, but that's not what Chan understood it to be at any point of his life, including right now.
I mean, it's okay. I sing Jem is truly nutrageous. So.
Oh, no, nobody likes nutrageous bars.
No, ever since being inundated with Chan's interpretation, I only sing our songs are bitter now, but I know it's wrong and I do it anyway. To be fair, Chan, for the sake of our audience and for the sake of all of us here, could we hear a little of the original Jem theme song banger? I didn't
spot,
put this
man.
In my request, but like, I kind of just need to hear it
never
at some point
put
today.
Shit in, you never put shit in requests. Like you're the guy that like orders food at a restaurant and then halfway through your meal, you're like, oh, do we not get chips and stuff? And they're like, I mean, I can bring you chips. Do you want chips? And you'll be like, yeah, I thought we would get chips.
Gina, I just thought we would get chips. It's not that big a deal. I mean, maybe they should have brought it without me asking. You ever think about that?
No.
I mean, I'm sure. Okay, fine. You want it, you got it.
I want it really bad. Oh my God.
You want chips? You got chips.
Oh my God.
I'm not going to lie. I like that too. Like this isn't Jem, but it's a banger.
You know what? It totally is. I fucking love the Chips theme song, so...
What's next? You want to give me the A-Team theme song while we're here, Chan? That's a banger, too.
No, I'm going to give you Jem as requested because we kind of need it.
God damn, is that good.
Jem is every bitter passion and pain. Jem is okay, that's all you get. go to YouTube if you want the rest of it. That's yeah.
I may just go to YouTube to get the rest of it. I've legitimately got goosebumps right now. That song is like mega banger.
Listen, I will say though, like I think if we had never heard that song, I don't think the new one is bad. I just think comparatively, it does not even compare.
It's not a banger.
I mean, here's the thing: this gem song kind of goes hard. The other newer one
is more poppy.
Yeah, it's definitely more bubblegum pop, and like I feel like Gem is. That's not what she does.
Can I tell you? If that song was the end credits theme song and like a cool down from the episode, I'd be way okay with it.
Yeah. But I mean, that's what I'm saying here. Like, in watching this, I was like, oh, Gem is never bad, in my opinion. Because even if the episode itself is like half baked or something like that, they still write like 3 or 4 original fucking songs per episode.
Yeah.
And I cannot imagine being a writer on that show. I say, and then I remember that every episode of regular show had like a 3-minute new song montage. So never mind. But those are written by Devo, not by me.
Well, Sunbow must have had some kind of right. They must have had some type of musician on this show. Like, a musician.
Yeah, they're too good. It's not like someone on a sketch team being like, "Hey, what rhymes with hat?" They're like legit songs, and the fact that they do like a mini music video, I mean, it's a fun time. So yeah, I agree that if this was the closing song, I would be like, "Ooh yeah, give it to me, baby."
Yeah, it'd be like, okay, I'm feeling good. I'm washing the episode off of me. I'm ready to get back into the streets again. Me and my friends are gem girls. Like, I'd be fine with that. That being said, this is the Halloween spooky episode of Gem. They basically just cribbed an episode of Scooby-Doo and put a gem veneer over it.
There was a point where I was like, oh, they're doing like a Scooby-Doo thing, but they're going to kind of flip it on its head. And then they just did a regular Scooby-Doo thing. I was like, what?
Regular Scooby-Doo episode.
I mean, here's the thing. I'm on board. I also like the fact that they get in some classic horror movie homages. They're not just slapping it together here. There was a fan in this writer's room.
No, yeah. For sure. I actually have a big note here in all caps. Universal Monsters only, please.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I don't know if they just had the rights to them in some sort of adjacency, but like, if you're into Universal Monsters, have I got an episode of Gem for you? Anyway, let's start it up. They're watching a scary movie night, and they're watching a Dracula movie, but it's like Latin Dracula. He looks like Cesar Romero.
What?
That mustache, man, that was Joker's mustache.
Feel like Ray is already going a little bit racist?
Not at all. He had classic
what's this sentence going to be?
I'm just saying he struck me as being coded Latino, and he was also Dracula, and I'm here for it. That is an interpretation of Dracula I want. Give me Antonio Banderas as the Dark Prince, and I'm here.
It now occurs to me that you maybe think Bela Lugosi is Latino? Is that what's happening here?
No, not at all. It really reminded me more of Cesar Romero as the Joker. But that's just because of the mustache.
Here's the thing. I can see it, and I sent a picture.
Okay, thank you.
I get that feeling, but it is like a Vincent. It's supposed to be a Vincent Price mustache.
Yes, yes.
The animation is a little wonky, so I can see.
You can see where I'm coming from here,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, thank you. I'm not just like making stuff up.
You are making stuff up, but also you happen to be correct.
Ray's like, he was standing in the background trying to bite a woman's neck while making paella.
Wait, what?
Paella? Wait a minute.
A classic. Classic Mexican stereotype. They're making paella.
Paella.
This is why he said I can't wait to hear what Ray's gonna say.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, no, I just wrote here. Oh shit, they're watching Dracula. Oh shit, it's Latin Dracula. And I loved it. I'm like, I'm here for it. This is when two of the gem team run into the room with masks on, And everybody's like, oh, and then they're like, ha ha, except for Terry, little Terry.
Listen, Terry, are we all on the same board here that something bad is happening to Terry? I wrote that her dad beats her.
Something's off, man. You don't you just don't be like that unless something went wrong.
Yeah. There were all the kids that I knew who were like, who were scared like this when they were little, like grew up to be seriously messed up.
Good to know.
And then it's like, usually it's like, oh yeah, my dad locked me in a closet and fed me paella from a metal spoon under the door every night.
Yeah, that is so frequently we find paella abuse in Latino communities mostly, but it could happen anywhere. It could strike anywhere, honestly.
You can never know. Public service message from people against paella or PAP.
PAP. I don't like the way that you're talking trash about PAP. It's kind of like a PAP smear, if you would, a media PAP smear.
I knew it was coming and I couldn't do anything about it. I just had to sit here and let it wash over
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
I could not get in the way. That shot came in fast, Chan. No reaction. Look, Rio shows up. I don't know. I honestly couldn't tell you who most of these people are other than Jem, the Jem crew.
That's all you need to know.
Basically,
the Jem guy and then the Misfits and the Misfit guys.
Yeah, Rio is like the dude that like sort of dates both Jem and Jerrica without realizing that they're the same person.
Now, why is Jem/Jerrica okay with that?
I forget exactly like why it's a thing. I think they're like on again, off again. Like when he's on with Jem, he's off with I'm trying to remember. I'll look it up on the wiki, but I think it was something like they were like he's the band's manager. He sort of like sometimes. He sometimes dates. Let's see.
He dates Jerrica, but is the manager of Jem. I kind of get that, and I'm kind of okay with it, since I feel like the dynamic of manager performer is not great to have relationship with.
A little predatory.
According to the Jem wiki, it says Rio loves Jerrica, but his crush on Jem has complicated matters in their relationship.
His crush on Jem.
But also, I guess.
Does he tell Jem or Jerrica about his exploits?
It says that Jem flirts with him, which is kind of messed up.
She's doing what do you call it when someone creates a fake Finsta to like lure out their spouse or boyfriend, girlfriend, or whatever relationship?
So that they can get them to
try and cheat on them so they can, ha, I gotcha.
Hold on a sec. Because I just discovered what Finsta was from watching Only Murders in the Building this season.
That is where I got it from. So
yeah. Okay. Oh, wow. I just wanted to make sure we're on the same page as old.
I'm glad that show is teaching the old something.
Yeah, I was not aware of a thing called a Finsta. It never even occurred to me that that's a thing a human being would want to do.
Well, no. I'm glad you know it now. You really need to get out more with youths.
To what? So that they can catfish us?
Yeah.
I know about this. You need to be prepared for real life. When we are sitting in the old folks' home and whatever the new version of the online scam is, or the scam where people call and say, like, Mrs. Ippolito, Gina's in jail. You need to send us $10,000 right now. Whatever that latest scam is, you guys won't know about it.
That's true.
Gina, I'm going to be real with you right here. And Chan, I'm going to speak for you as well, if that's okay.
Fair.
Nobody on Instagram is sliding into our DMs for any reason whatsoever.
Listen, at some point they're gonna try and get money out of you. The older you get, the more people try to steal your money.
Yeah, well, they got to know better. I don't have any money. I mean, I'm on a podcast or two or three.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is actually Chan and I don't even exist. We are just Nigerian scammers that have been recording this podcast with you for 9 years to get your money.
The thought has crossed my mind.
We're just waiting for you guys
playing the real long game.
Break big.
Yeah.
It's been
you're waiting on me to break big. You're, You are in trouble, scammers.
This is Ray's strategy is wait them out until everyone is broke.
I think I've risen to my maximum potential, and I know everything I'm saying when I say that. Oh my God. Keep failing upwards, kids. The point I'm trying to make here, Rio wants to go for a ride and they're like, it's so late. And I'm wondering, how late is it? I mean, it appeared like the sun might still be out.
Well, they say it's midnight.
They say later they're meeting at midnight.
Pretty late. It's pretty late.
Yeah, but these are also rock stars. No, they're rock stars who like watch movies with little kids because they're constantly picking up random orphans.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying they're new rock stars like Gina Ippolito who goes to bed at 10 p.m. I'm saying these are rock stars.
Yeah, but they own like orphans and shit.
I mean, that makes you a real rock star if you own orphans.
Or like a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, that's dark.
Well, that's life.
That's life.
The old opera house is where they're going. And the owner of the old opera house turns out to be the guy who played Dracula in the movie they were just watching, Latin Dracula. And he's still wearing the costume. And I immediately became concerned.
Yeah, that's not great. That's not a great look.
Listen, we all know that one actor who's like really proud of that one role hasn't gotten one in a while and keeps bringing it up. I'm not going to name any names on stream. But as soon as Robert Clark Chan hits the stop recording, I will throw out the names of the people that I'm thinking of. And it would not be crazy to go to a party at their comedy house and see them in their outfit that their one role is from.
Man, Napoleon Dynamite really did get sad.
I'm going through my brain Rolodex and like thinking of who that could be. There's a lot of people that it could be.
Now we're going to each put together a list.
Then we'll go on the break room and we'll do a bracket.
Oh, we'll do a bracket. Yeah, I love that. I love that idea.
A bracket of the saddest comedians.
Sidebar.
Why not?
Me and Cy got a little jealous that everybody's like watching Halloween movies, and because we don't really watch horror movies. So
why not? Watch,
it's I love not, them. It's really neither of our things.
God, you're missing out, man.
I mean, so that's why we're like, oh, hey, look, a bunch of people are posting like a lot of great movies. Why don't we watch some of them? So we started by watching The Witch last night. Nice. And I bring that up only because these two little shitheads who come running in to scare everybody with their masks feel very much like the two shithead kids. From the jump, I was like, fuck these kids. Hope something bad happens to them. I think something did. Not entirely clear how. If
it gets a little muddy in act three. I'm going to say that.
Yeah, they are absolutely dead. Old naked witch chopped them up and rubbed them all over her body like she did with their baby brother.
They seem kind of big for that.
Nah, you can chop up a kid that small. Also, I brought this up on the break room because it was someone's pick for a specific category. I won't spoil what category. But anytime you put a little kid in those Puritan outfits that are that stiff wool, they look like shrunken down humans, and it's immediately unsettling. Like it is not a natural, like it's not a natural look. So I spent like a good 15 minutes of that movie being like, what am I seeing here? Is this a kid? Is this a kid with some sort of thing going on?
Are these Ewoks? What's happening?
Yeah, like, and then I realized it's just that they're in this stiff wool that doesn't like move as they move. And so they just look like little adults that like someone used a shrinking ray on and are now cavorting with a black goat.
Well,
I know what you're saying, because there was a point, like, I think the first time I saw them, like, we see Anya Taylor-Joy, and she's an attractive person.
She's also in this movie. Good in this, and this was her first role.
Yeah. But, like, she does not look attractive because all Puritans look like ass.
Her little brother would beg to differ.
And then, well, she, I mean, he wasn't looking at her face, is all I'm saying. Yeah. Then you see some of the other kids and people, and like, okay, well, these people aren't. And then you see those two little kids, and you're like, are you a these are like, the little baby was like, you could sort of see, like, all right, you're a little baby, you're kind of cute.
Yeah.
This is as good looking as this family's going to get. And then those two kids barrel on Instagram, like, oh my God, is that a box of cereal? Are those two walking boxes of cereal?
Yeah, you look. Understand why the brother lets himself get taken by the bosomy the bosomy witch. Like, at that point, he's like, I know this is probably bad, but I'm all horned up, and it's either this or my weird-looking sister.
Yeah.
Also, because we were talking about it at work, and, like, it's a lot of those, like, English character actors. Like nobody does character actors like England. Like the mom in that is a woman – From Game of Thrones. Yeah, and it's like, she's always doing something weird with breastfeeding. She's either letting a crow peck at her titty or a 9-year-old kid. Wait, Ray, have you not seen The Witch?
I've never seen. We said this before we started recording. I've never seen it, and now I'm confused.
Okay, look, we won't give away anything else.
No, but it's basically like a people in Puritan times, and they think there's witches, and everybody goes a little bibbly because things aren't great. You know, it's not complicated. It's just a well-told, you know, horror. Oh, damn it. Oh, I tried looking her up because I saw her, and we're like, oh God, where is she from? And then, so I'm scrolling. I'm like, was she on Game of Thrones? Game of Thrones.
Every British person has been on Game of Thrones.
That is also correct.
I had to scroll so far because she works so much, like, just to get a few years back to Game of Thrones. It's like,
but she has it in her contract that she always needs to breastfeed weird.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, so, like, it's a weird thing, but that's her grand.
You're not kidding, though. If you look back, every British person every actor was on Game of Thrones, to the point where, like, you watch stuff now. I forgot. This is how ridiculous it is. I was watching that terrible AI commercial with Bella Ramsey. And I'm just Bella Ramsey from Last of Us. What else has she done? As if I just completely forgot that she dominated Game of Thrones for like 2 seasons.
But now she's dead to me. Now she's dead to me.
It makes me so mad.
What did she do?
She doesn't need the money. She's doing these like pro AI commercials.
Yeah, they're bad.
It's not great.
But Ed Sheeran was on Game of Thrones, was Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback.
But Mastodon, Ray, the band Mastodon, was in Game of Thrones.
This is the point.
I think you will like The Witch. Don't watch it with Melissa. Watch it after everyone has gone to bed and turn off all the lights.
For the record, I have not watched a single one of these movies with Melissa in the room.
Yeah.
She does not like horror movies.
Yeah, no, I know. But that's why I was thinking, because she would want the lights on or something. But if you genuinely watch this movie by yourself in the dark, I think you will like it.
Oh, I have a feeling I will like it. I have a short list of things I want to see. If I could indulge briefly, like, my goal this year is to fill in gaps of movies I haven't seen but should have.
Yeah, that's actually what I did. What I used that stream for, because the guys picked a few movies that I hadn't seen. I've never seen Train to Busan.
Oh, I need to see that.
But it was a lot of people's favorites. We had a category of best foreign. Which was unsurprisingly dominated by various Asian films, like when we picked it. But there were a few on there that I had not seen, and I realized I need to see.
So my short list here, I watched Five Nights at Freddy's because my kid asked me to. It's terrible. I watched Phantasm from 1978.
Great one.
Okay. I finally watched Drag Me to Hell, which I should have seen a decade ago.
Yeah, that one's good.
And then I wasn't expecting to do a Justin Long double feature, but then I watched Jeepers Creepers.
Oh, I love that first Jeepers Creepers.
It's very good. The second one, I watched the second one too.
One's pretty good too. And then something happened, and that director or writer got like super Me Too'd.
Well, he got Me Too'd years before the first Jeepers Creeper. But then like after the second one came out, he actually, I think, went to prison.
Yeah, oof. Yeah. It was like the rare.
It's bad.
Yeah, sorry, considering how rarely people like that go to prison, he must have done some stuff.
Yeah,
for the record, He did some stuff and got caught for with some stuff.
Yeah. Yeesh. Yeah.
Then I saw The Burbs. That was at a friend's house. They considered it. Oh, I said, let's watch a scary movie. They're like, The Burbs.
Ugh, and I'm like, you know what? Who are these people?
Comedy suspense. I don't know.
No, but tell me so I can firebomb their house.
And then the last one I watched is from a recommendation from Facebook, Trick or Treat.
That is my favorite, and I watch it about 5 times every October. I've already watched it 4 times. It is so good. Brian Cox yelling at and fighting a little pumpkin boy.
He's phenomenal.
Is amazing. Anna Paquin is great. It's just campy enough. And I described it as the horror version of Love Actually, because they do all the vignettes and they come together brilliantly at the end. Yeah. And it's like one of those things that you don't know if they're going to pull it all together. But the end reveal of like who Brian Cox is and the little kids on the bus and blah, 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 blah. It's like genuinely campy, genuinely scary, genuinely gory. And having all those three in a movie that actually works, very rare for horror.
Really?
It was also like it was weirdly horny. But it was like horny in like an 80s movie way that doesn't know what sex is, but it's still really horny.
I don't think it's that horny. I think maybe you're just an old man.
I found it to be excessively horny.
Wow.
Not that I was complaining, but I was like, Jesus.
It is one of my all-time favorite horror movies. Top 10 horror movies. Might even be in the top 3.
I did like it. Anyway. Let's get back to the episode. I hope you all enjoy horror movies like we do. Chan, just don't read that. It's upsetting.
No, Chan, you got to educate yourself on Jeepers Creepers lore.
So
I don't.
The old opera house. The owner is a much older version of the actor from like a black and white movie that they were watching. So it's probably like 30 years, 40 years later. He's still wearing his Dracula outfit, and he owes back taxes on the opera house that he cannot pay.
And
the
his name is?
The city's about to put the building up for auction. Frederick Vincent.
Yeah, Mr. Vincent. So this is the first, obviously, this is a nod to Vincent Price. They have a couple names.
Oh, Vincent.
Oh, okay. My God. Wait, Chan, please tell me you got that.
I did say earlier that it was a Vincent Price, not a Latino heat as
right. So they have a couple names of characters throughout this that are nods to classic horror movie actors. I will bring them up as they come up, but this is the first.
I get you. I'm Vincent noticing Price. Another one right now that now makes sense to me. Okay, so it's gonna get demolished, and so at first he's like, I can't pay my bills, and I look around the opera house and I see it's run down, dilapidated. And has like sheets over all of the seats. Maybe if you opened it and had shows here, you would make money.
Spoken like someone who's never run a business.
Wow.
I mean, clearly you just think that there's no overhead to run a business, I guess.
Well, then what is going to happen if we let him pay his back taxes? He will just owe them again next year. And apparently at the end of the episode, we learn, I think I'm just going to open this up and do shows again. Like,
Ray,
it's so easy for him after the back taxes are paid.
You realize that once you are in a hole, you do not have money to run that business anymore, right?
Okay, but he didn't have any money to pay it, but then had money to put up to reopen the business again. I don't understand.
Chan, because do you want to take this one?
They did a concert to raise money
for his back taxes, and lawyers money. Take half of it.
Mm-hmm. And then they made. I don't think you realize how popular this gem in the holograms is. But
it's
they
not a very big venue. Let's keep it real.
They're basically the death clock of their era.
I mean, you're speaking my language right now. That actually,
I'm trying to.
Then why would a Misfits show across the street be any threat to them whatsoever?
Well, this is the ongoing thing that the Misfits always does, and then they play dirty. They try to lure fans away. They try to lure jobs away. They try to lure gigs away.
They create Ticketmaster to control prices and venues. Yeah. That one actually worked, and we're still paying the price.
I appreciate the hustle of the Misfits. I'll just say it right now.
I mean, if they put all that energy that they're using to try and destroy Jem into just having their own regular good music career, maybe they would be thriving.
It is a cutthroat industry. I feel like someone told them that at some point. They just took it a little far. Like, the whole point of this is to be cutthroat, right? Not to make music.
Well, Jem's going to do the concert for this guy they just met who they saw on TV earlier.
Huge plot. Huge
opera house.
Huge thing, dude. Throughout the 80s, by the way.
Dude, if fucking Bruce Campbell were like, oh my God, I can't afford to pay rent, can you throw an improv marathon for me? You tell me you wouldn't be there in a hot second?
I would. What does that have to do with it being a huge plot line in a lot of things in the 80s that, like, oh, we've got to save the theater, or like, oh, this bad developer wants to shut this thing down. Now we've got to have a benefit concert.
Again, I'm trying to speak Ray's language.
Oh, but I
now
see.
Now that you say that, Chan, and I hear you, it was also the main plot line of UHF.
I mean, it's the main plot line in everything in the 80s, because that was what they knew. They knew corporations bad, trying to do bad corporation-y things. Mm-hmm. You just need to get some moxie and, put on a play that everyone comes to.
Yeah. Well, they're going to do it. We're doing it. And this is where we get reminded that Terry hates Halloween. They try to scare her again, and she has a well over the top reaction to it. And they're like, shut up, Terry. This is fun.
I am glad that they treat Terry this way. This girl deserves.
That's what abuse victims need.
This girl deserves to be bullied.
Oh my God.
They're
effing with her for no reason at all. They could just leave her alone, and they are actively choosing not to. It kind of make me mad at the holograms.
They win her over, so the ends justify the means.
They sing a song. I don't know that they win her over, but a song called It's Fun to Be Scared. Which
it is fun to be scared.
I agree. I
feel
fun.
Like
anyone who disagrees is weak.
If you have to write a song to convince, it just feels like a real weird kind of therapy that I don't feel comfortable.
No, this is like what they did with kids. It was like, it wasn't all like frou-frou, like, oh, you be scared if you want to be scared. It was like, hey, we're going to sing a catchy tune, and then you're going to forget all about your mental issues.
Did that work for you? It feels,
I mean, I wasn't
like
fucking scared because I wasn't a five-year-old pussy.
Fair point.
Can we hear a little bit of this wonderful song?
So is this in line with my theory that any kids who were scared probably had some shit going on and then grew up to be messed up adults?
I mean, messed up enough to do a podcast for 9 years. So yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
maybe just messed up in a different way.
Of cruel to be kind in the right measure, cruel to be kind.
What is that?
I don't know what that is.
You gotta be cruel to be kind. I hate boys so much.
Maybe if I see more of the song that they haven't heard of, they'll figure it out.
Oh my god. I can't.
Is that Ani DeFranco?
I can't handle this. If you were girls, you would know this.
Is that TLC?
I guarantee you would know it. I'm just not the best singer.
I mean, that is definitely not helping things.
Oh, it's Destiny's Child with Beyonce.
Oh, actually, God. Got kind of close with TLC. Okay.
It is not Destiny's Child.
Nailed it.
I hate you guys. I like this song. I think it's got a great message.
They spent the entire music video tormenting Terry, who has already twice made it clear she doesn't like it.
Terry deserves it. If she did not want to be scared, she should not have come over to watch a scary movie.
What I think she has God's to because is, she lives
hold on. Hold on. Gina sent us a link to this song, and all of the first section is just gibberish to me. Cruel to Be Kind is a song co-written by Nick Lowe and his former bandmate Ian Gom, while the pair are in Brinsley Schwartz. What? Why is there a person named Ian Gom? Why is there a band called Brinsley Schwartz that Wait. Appeared on a B-side of Little Hitler?
Little Hitler?
What? Okay, what is any of this?
I didn't read the...
This is the worst, and Gina...
Can you hear this?
No, and I refuse to hear it.
No, you and it's by Nick Lowe, this? As if we all know who Nick Lowe is.
You guys
if you would
heard,
have said it was Nick Lowe, we would have been like, I don't know.
Heartache.
You know what? I'm going to look up some Brinsley Schwartz, because they sound like a real winner.
Okay.
Brinsley Schwartz sounds like a minor character on Ted Lasso.
Here's the thing. I'm going to look up what movies this song has been in, and I guarantee you it is every movie ever made.
Oh, this is a song that has been covered, and so you probably don't even know the original. You're giving us like a Letters to Cleo, or it was in 10 Things I Hate About You, or some such. Yes.
No.
You guys are just guessing stupid shit to annoy me.
I'm basing it on the suggested search term.
I'll be honest, I've never been more lost on a Wikipedia page with no idea anything that I'm seeing. Brinsley Schwartz.
The classic duo. Trio?
Oh, maybe it did. Maybe it did get covered in 10 Things I Hate About You, but that is not the version that I know.
Is it?
That's not the original version that I know.
Oh, you know the original.
Yeah. I just played it. You guys just couldn't hear it, apparently. Because I don't know. I thought playing my computer.
Playing
would.
It in your head? Is that what
it was
happening?
Going through Gina's headphones real loud. You guys
are going to listen to it after this and be like, oh, of course I know that movie.
There is only
jack offs who were afraid of movies when they were little don't know this song.
Guys, this is the Gina heel turn episode you've all been waiting for.
No, it's not a heel turn if everyone agrees with me.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
She's Jan, the most glamorous rock star ever. She's also Jerrica, the president of Starlight Music. But only her friends, the Holograms, Kimber, Aja, and Shayna, know that Jerrica's also Jim.
The clothes are so sharp. Her gym star earrings are the ultimate. Your music is totally awesome.
Jim comes with Jim and Jerrica outfits. Kimber, Aja, and Shayna sold separately with cassette from Hasbro.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
What? No. God damn it. I'm trying to get this song, but it's giving me Elvis Costello. Why is Elvis Costello?
No, just Google Cruel to Be Kind. It's the first one that comes up.
I did.
You need me to post the link for you?
Look, I'm not that old. maybe I am, because it just took me to eBay.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Oh my god. You're going to have a blue screen in about 5 seconds.
I will post it for you.
No. Here we go. Nope. Nothing. Never heard this before.
You will.
Fuck, I'm skipping to the good bit. Nope, there's no good bit. Or is it the same?
Cruel to be kind, it's a very good sign. Cruel to be kind means that I love you.
Baby, you gotta be cruel to be kind.
And yeah, let's circle back around to why we got on this god awful track anyway. That
because
song
she's singing,
reminded you of it's fun to be scared.
Because she's like, it's fun to be scared in the right measure. Fun to be scared. That was how I remembered it.
Wow.
Anyway.
How did you stay hired on regular show? Like, they're putting out songs constantly, and you are you are the opposite of someone who is talented in music. You actually suck music out of a room.
I want everyone to weigh in. And here's the thing that sucks about now that there is not a central social media thing, because everyone on Threads is deeply, deeply unwell. like, I guarantee you, if I log in right now, it would be like a woman posting a 15-thread thread about just some really deep, dark shit and other people commenting like, why is this online? But either message us somewhere to tell us that you know this song.
You guys have the chance to do the funniest thing ever right now.
I mean, here's the thing. People keep tagging on threads, and I'm the only one that responds. For someone who has such a hard-on for threads, Ray, you are never responding.
I like them.
I make the little heart thing.
I make the heart thing, Gina. What do you want from me? They're not talking to me. They're talking to you.
No, they tag each of us.
They tag each of us because they think that we will direct you to threads to respond.
I believe at some point in the past, we're like, stop messaging us for because you want to talk to Gina. If you want to talk to Gina, you got to talk to us too.
No, but also this is like Sir Moxford, like tagging us and making commentary about the episodes and what we do in the episodes. And you guys don't respond. And I am always the only one that responds. And you're the one who forced everyone to go to threads. Lord Snurts is the last one. And he said, looks like banana devil horns to me because we said.
And I just responded. Are you happy now?
Yeah, you responded. Yeah, no period. It looks angry as fuck.
I was too busy dancing my I'm correct dance to respond to that.
Also, Dr. Moxford, I've never heard of Banana Man, but these are my expectations and I'm excited for it. And then he put a meme and I responded, these are very appropriate expectations. Also, Lord Snurts weighed in on that one too. You guys are nowhere in this thread.
Gina, I just responded to that one too. So how about you show me the respect I deserve?
I hate that you wrote yeah. I hate you so much. I hate that you wrote yeah in both places. Fans, I want you to rebel against this. I want you to rebel against this. I want you to like actively kill Ray and Chan. No, I shouldn't say that because there might be someone who actually does it, like Jody Foster.
Oh my God. Oh, Gina wants me to.
I'm your Jodie Foster weird podcast listeners. No, Snurts and Moxford would never kill you guys.
Oh my God!
Unless you asked them.
You asked them to exactly.
Like
I'll take my response offline.
Well, the good news, y'all, is we're getting up to an hour of recording time so far, and we are 4.5 minutes into this episode.
Well, hurry up. There's not that much.
I am the problem. I recognize. We get the whole Gem crew to go to the Opera House, and the address is 1313. And so Terry's like, can't go in there.
Yeah, here's the thing. Here's why I hate Terry. She's not just a scared kid. She like actively is going to grow up to be a yoni steaming, crystal loving, Mercury in retrograde, weird little bitch who's like stands in line at Cafe Gratitude or something. And when they ask her what kind of water she wants, she's like, can you get a bottle that's been blessed by a monk? Not tap water, holding up the line. That's who this girl is. The fact that she's also superstitious about stupid shit, this girl grows up to be a weird dude.
Yeah, the being scared but jump scare is like, I get it. I was that kid and I'm okay with it. But like, I can't walk under a ladder. That's some next level shit that I don't think anybody needs in their life.
Thank you. I'm glad we can come together.
She lost me.
Yeah, I'm glad we can come together to hate a little girl.
Thank you.
I mean, like I said, I've been hating all of the anyone under about the age of 15, I think, in this already. I'm just like, I'm done with you. I don't even want any. Don't just get off my TV.
So let's bring on the Misfits because I missed them. They're amazing. They've decided, we just heard Gem and the Holograms are doing a charity support concert. Let's F with them by doing a concert literally across the street from them at the same time.
Yeah, this is a true bitch move, and I love it.
They put on concerts purely out of spite, and I respect the shit out of that.
It's amazing. Also, this concert here, as I can tell, is like tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tonight, even.
Well, that's like, why they have Rex. What is his name? Rio? Rocco?
Rio.
Yeah, Rio. Uh-huh. And then they're sent to go see a guy named Terrence Landau.
No.
You know.
Just like famed actor Martin Landau from Ed Wood, which is
a few years later. But yeah.
Well, that Ed Wood was after this, but by this point he was already in Alfred Hitchcock. He was in Outer Limits. He was in Twilight Zone.
He was known.
He did a lot of spooky shows and movies. And his daughter is Juliet Landau, who played
Drusilla in Buffy the Vampire Slayer,
which was so great.
Well, there you go. Well, Terrence is like he's like one of those money guys who buys like 99 cent stores and then bankrupts them after selling the land out from underneath them and stuff.
I feel like he could have had a better pull than 99 cent stores.
A Red Lobster.
I don't think too many people are buying up 99 cent stores to.
Where's Spirit Halloween when you need them?
You know, apparently they're getting into the Christmas game, and I don't know how no one thought of this before now.
Seems amazing to me. Well, here's the deal. This is a plot point of this that did not make any sense to me. Terrence wants to buy the opera house and demolish it because it gets in the way of his view.
Mm-hmm.
And then they cut to his view, and the opera house is like on the corner. It's like two stories high next to like a 20-story building.
It's not what blocking view? Any fucking skyline.
What view is it blocking exactly? This is outrageous.
I do like this because there are, you know, like there are always those people online who like buy a house and then do something awful to it, like change the natural architecture of it. And there are all these like people who release like the worst flipped houses, basically. So there are people who have terrible taste and just don't like anything old looking at all.
Oh,
so I believe this dude. Like, this dude would be a house flipper who would take like original hardwood floors and original stone and put in like concrete or something hideous.
I guess it just, and for those of you at home, Gina, you know about the NFT house in North Hollywood?
This is what
I think of when you talk about that. Somebody bought a house in North Hollywood and then flipped it to be NFT themed a few years ago, and wouldn't you know it, they're having trouble selling it.
To be in it, I'm trying to wrap my head around what an NFT themed house would.
One wall is like a giant mural of the apes from the Bored Ape Yacht Club, for example. Jesus. Look it up. You can find actually like the Zillow listing. If you kids at home got to do it, it's fun. I love this house. When we were looking for a house, I literally was like, can we at least go see the NFT house? I mean, what are we doing here? I was told no. So he wants to destroy the two-story opera house for the skyline purposes. Now, that blew my mind. And later as we do the episode, Chan, apparently it goes down into the streets of New York about 10 stories deep, and there's a secret cobra base under it.
It is an ancient temple. Mm-hmm.
And this is the most outrageous architecture, because it's not tall enough to be an opera house, quite frankly, but it is deep enough to be a cobra base. I'm enamored of this property, honestly. I'm a fan. Anyway. The Misfits across the street have to do a pop-up concert. So what's the best way to do it? An inflatable venue. A literal inflatable building. Not a circus tent. A literal like Halloween inflatable you would put in your yard. But it's a building that can house a concert.
I like it. Once they're done with it, they can fill it with little balls and turn it into a ball pit.
Oh man, huge ball pit.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we'll find out that it's not even rated for that.
Not practical. Yeah. And this is where they say, look at the opera house. It looks unsafe. Where I laughed, being like, you just made an inflatable building and you're complaining the other venue is unsafe.
This is what that side does. They accuse the other side of doing what they're doing, and then people start believing them. And I could be talking really about anything.
Really, I'm glad that's not how our politics work in the year 2024.
No, that'd be real bummer.
It'd be weird, right? If people just made shit up and then all of a sudden you had a bunch of randos online arguing it, even though it made no sense. That'd be weird, right?
The good old days.
Like, and then death threats start coming. But then the other people who support those people be like, what death threats? Show me. Prove it. Meanwhile, the person is swimming in goddamn death threats. And now they're being Alex Jones'd and told they're not real. But again, I'm glad that doesn't happen in the year 2024.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. They go to explore the unsafe opera house. They know it's not safe, or at least not inspected to be safe. And they say, let's go spelunking.
That doesn't seem like a good idea.
Mm-hmm. A giant pumpkin backdrop falls forward. And thankfully, the member of the holograms has played Mario Party. So she knows to stand in the eye hole when it falls forward so she will not be crushed. That made me very happy. And Terry, the second the pumpkin falls, Terry turns to everybody and is like, I told you, motherfuckers.
Yeah. Yeah. This girl is not going to grow up to be a pleasant human being to be around. It is truly like a person, like a certain type of person in LA who's like, you did not get that job because Mercury retrograde. And I wish death upon them all.
But I totally forgot. We need to jump back real quick. I missed the Misfits when they put up their inflatable venue. Yes. And the reporter is there just kind of like, what's going on here? And Zorana jumps in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Here, let me help you.
God damn it. I heard that and it made me so happy.
She was reading off the script and was like, wait a minute. There's a she's like Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade. There's no ancient Cockney. Yeah. Let me help you.
Oh, that was amazing. You were right to call back to that 100%. So vampire guy now shows up and they're all just like, yo, we think there might be like ghosts or something. This pumpkin fell. The dude said he checked it a while ago and vampire guy's tune has changed. And he goes, for sure there are ghosts here and they will kill you. Oh, all right. And here, then the Misfits just show up. Yeah.
Where I thought, oh my goodness, they're going to flip the Scooby-Doo thing on its head because all of a sudden now the guy who was asking for their help is like, go away. I don't want you to help. It's going to be, a disaster and I just need to fail on my own and we just need to let this whole thing die. And I was like, dude is like trying to scare them away because of his own self-doubt and lack of self-esteem.
Yeah.
Like, that's like some real psychological shit, man. It's frankly disappointed by the ending of this.
Not what happens.
It is not at all.
But also, like, in theory, he owns the building. He should just tell them to leave and they should just leave.
I mean, at this point I would be like, oh, this seems like some elder abuse is going on here and he's being puppeted.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I just, why the Misfits just showing up inside the opera house? They just waltz in and start fucking stuff up.
And listen, I'm like, they're hot ladies, man. Hot ladies can go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. And and this is where the building inspector shows up. Now there are, I expected this building inspector character to be super corrupt under the guise of big money and the Misfits. To come in and start being like harping on this, that, the other thing, find any excuse at all to shut them down. But to the respect of New York City, this building inspector takes his job seriously.
Yeah, honestly, this is some good writing because it would have been too much at this point. Like if they also added a building inspector who's piling on, that would be a hat on a hat on a hat at this point. So I'm glad the building inspector was like, man, fucking looks good to me. Bye.
Yeah. Trying to find something, can't.
But he's coming back.
He is coming back.
Like, the point is he's there to like sort of raise the stakes and like, if we can't get this thing right, then we're boned. And then they sort of like take the stakes away. It was like, everything's fine. See you later. But like, yeah, well, I don't know why they didn't just move this chunk to later near the end.
It's weird, right?
So well, that, you know,
cut to the misfits who are inexplicably still here. Hiding in the opera house, thinking about how they're going to mess more stuff up when a monster hand reaches out and scares them away. Leading us to a Misfits video. Mm-hmm. Don't look now.
I appreciate the fact that they're still good, but they are never quite as good as Jem. And I also really like the "this place is haunted."
Can I say right now, if and when they do the live action version of Jem,
they already have.
No, they're going to do it for real this time.
I can't handle your boyness tonight, boys. Like, I truly look, can't.
They in 2015 true, they made truly, it, but nobody can't. Saw the Gem in the Holograms movie.
I truly hate you guys. Truly. It still exists. You can't just. It was terrible, but you can't say when they make it, they eventually will. Blah 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 blah. It was terrible. They changed Gem into an influencer. It was awful.
Yes, Gina, this is the point,
Gina. Metallica never made an album after And Justice for All. I believe that with my whole heart. I will continue to believe that until I die. You think I can't ignore a goddamn Jem live action movie from 15 years ago?
I'm just saying, when a dude like Ray says, oh, when they do this with a female-led cartoon, when it's a live, oh, no, that doesn't exist. It hits different, Chan.
Can I finish my thought, which is they're in the process, and you know this, Gina, of rebooting the entire Hasbro universe. They're going to put Transformers and G.I. Joe in the next movie together. This is understood and known. When they add the live action Gem to the new reboot, what I would like to see is the leader of the Misfits played by Rachel Bloom. And then let's watch the Misfits become even more popular than Gem. Mm.
I would watch the shit out of that.
That would be amazing, right?
Yeah.
I don't even know what the name of the leader of the Misfits is, but put her in that, and I am on effing board.
And they have the chance to right a tremendous wrong when they do this. Mm-hmm. They can make sure that when they write the songs are bitter.
they need to be. That's a fact. Okay.
Also, they're going to get her. They're going to get
her. Someday. This is when the black cat shows up and Terry, of course, loses her shit. And then a chandelier drops on their heads and Terry just stands there staring at it. Like, Terry, this is the moment you've been waiting for. You've been skittish over literally everything the entire episode. An actual peril comes your way and you just stand there and somebody has to shove you out of the way. Bad job, Terry.
Yeah.
Idiot.
I feel like it would cost too much to animate her actually being frightened.
And now vampire guy shows up one more time and says, literally, guys, get the fuck out of here. And then he disappears again. Well, they're like, does he mean it?
I'm telling you, elder abuse.
Yeah, I see it now.
And then another moment happened. Like, there's a lot of crazy things that happen in this episode that I really want to make sure I mention, like the inflatable Coliseum set up on a New York like corner. It's incredible. But right outside the venue, the night of the show, near as I can tell, the Misfits show, the Misfits are standing around like 20 yards away from the entrance where people are in line to buy tickets to their show, right? And nobody cares. Nobody's coming over and talking to them. Nobody's even looking at them. they are in line for the show featuring them, allegedly their favorite band. And I can't get over the fact, and I understand animation-wise why they did it, but story-wise, it is batshit crazy that they would just be hanging around the grounds of their own venue right before the show starts, and nobody gives a shit.
I mean, I've seen some indie wrestling shows that were pretty bad, and you kind of like, oh, there's the guy who just fucked up a moonsault. Great. Want to get his autograph?
For reference sake, people used to come up and talk to me after my wrestling shows.
That doesn't seem real.
It blew my mind too, trust me. But nobody wants to go talk to the Misfits. Oh my God. That I don't even know. That to me was the craziest thing of the whole episode. Then a lot of crazy things happen. Okay. So now all of a sudden, Jem and the crew are back at they're still inside the opera house, and some sort of skeleton mummy character shows up and tries to scare them. And they all scatter. Terry runs off the stage because they were rehearsing at the time, and she falls down a trap door.
That seems like a lot.
It's a lot going on. And then the building inspector shows up. It can't have been more than like an hour. Why did he, to Chan's point, why did he leave? I don't know.
I bet he actually like had to take a poop, and he was like looking around the building, and he was like, oh my God, I have to poop. And he's like probably one of those guys that likes to go home and do it, like a George Costanza type who wants to find either the best bathroom or go home. And so he was like, I don't know, everything looks good, but I'll be back. And then he like went home and pooped, and he's like, damn, I should really give a better inspection to that building. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So when you got to go, you got to go.
Well, this is when the Gem team freaks out, like, you have to stall him, Rio. And I'm like, why? Why do you have to stall him?
Because
there's
shit's
nothing
been
bad to see.
No, shit's been falling apart, and there's monster hands.
Yeah,
and
well,
also they're missing a teen girl that they have to explain, like child endangerment and what have you.
What I love is that this building inspector nominally is not going to find the 10-story Cobra base under the buildings. This guy is not a good building inspector, I guess is what I'm realizing. He can't find the trap doors. Like, that is literally your job. And yeah, the child's missing. Why does the building inspector care? He's there for the building, not the kid. Also, they live in New York. Call the Ghostbusters.
That, I guess you're good.
Yeah.
No notes. Carry on.
Terry is now in the underground facility. And I'm not even kidding when in some of the shots later in this is like from Resident Evil 2's under the police station gigantic laboratory. Like, it is insane the size of this area that they are in under this tiny little opera house. This episode might have broken me. Not the deeper I go into it. Like, this is like a Cthulhu mythos. The more I get into it, the more insane I go.
It does seem, I'm starting to suspect that maybe it's not back taxes so much as this guy did not want to be inspected because there is so much crazy shit in there that would eventually be uncovered and like, oh, right, I forgot I had buried a body there 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. I really should have cleaned that up. And maybe I just skip it and just not. We just burn this thing down, start over.
Again, and the deeper I dive on this, did Vampire Guy know that there was this giant facility under his opera house? He must have, because as we learned, the bad guys who have come in to do bad things, like, all got there.
Yeah.
So it must be in the blueprints or something, because they just knew to go there.
Yep.
Through a back door of some kind. I don't know. Sanity check failed. Terry has now found the bad guys. There's three of them. And the vampire guy is one of them, and he's working with the evil guys. And I wrote here, what? And also, despite the fact that they are masterminding this plan, including chasing Terry, none of them had a clue that Terry had fallen down a trapdoor to get there.
Well, they got a lot on their plate.
Mm-hmm. They do.
They're doing all sorts of special effects. And
yeah, and the special effects, apparently they just have one switch on a dashboard down there. That's just like, how hard can we just make things scary? Turn it all the way to high.
Turn it to the scariest.
The scariest. It was only on medium before. Like, logistics, how does that work? I want to know. But the more I know, the deeper I spiral into and sad. The guy, okay. At this point, Terry finds the real vampire guy. What? He was captured and replaced with a double in a prison cell under the Opera House somehow. It's like the Philadelphia Eagles old or current NFL stadium where the fans were so unruly, they just put a jail in the stadium.
Good Lord.
You know, Philly fans have a history. Breed. They have a reputation for being some of like the worst, most belligerent fans in sports. But to their credit, they have earned it. Take that, Philly fans. Sorry about your teams. Also, we learn the Black Cat's name is Phantom, and he is owned by the vampire guy who has been missing him.
Yep.
And then we get proof that Vampire Guy did know about the facility as I go through it deeper, because he knows where there's a hidden door where a painting gets turned askew to open and close it.
That's what I'm saying.
So he knew all this shit was down there.
And he doesn't want people to know about it.
But the bad guys knew about
it. Well, they figured it out, yeah. Yeah.
But thank God the inspector doesn't. The bad guys don't get there in time. So this leads us to a gigantic, near as I can tell, 100-foot tall chamber in this underground of the Opera House where there is a gigantic spiral staircase and like giant drums of something. Am I wrong?
No.
I don't know.
And so they climb, they run up all the stairs, get to the top, and he has a hidden switch to turn the stairs into a ramp, and the bad guys that were chasing them slide all the way down the ramp.
Yeah. And they come busting out, like, right in front of the inspector, which I feel like is an OSHA violation.
Yeah. They didn't get up to ground level. How did they just run sideways and end up with the inspector?
No. They were running up. They were running up all those stairs. We just talked about the stairs that they were running up.
Oh no, the good guys did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Jem. Okay, I gotta just. The inspector's back.
You seem real overwhelmed right now.
This storyline is just, and they just suddenly hit us with all this in like a 2-minute span right at the end. You know what I'm saying? It was building crazy. And then it just, like, again, like a good Cthulhu story. And then at the end, it just, like, rips off a Band-Aid and just starts shooting blood everywhere.
It broke
and
back.
Just, yeah. And then ends super fast before you know what you're even dealing with. And you're like, what happened? Maybe I've been playing too much Arkham Horror. But that's what this is. This could be an episode of Arkham Horror now that I'm thinking about it. Okay, Jem is closing it all down. The bad guys try to run away, but again, they never got up to ground level. I don't understand. Jem gets Halloween help from Synergy, her magical friend. Catches the bad guys.
Okay. Yeah, Ray thinks all computers are magic.
I don't know how ones and zeros work. It's a magic. It's a mystery.
I call my Chromebook my magical friend.
They do the Scooby-Doo moment where they take the mask off of the vampire guy who's fake. It's actually the Misfits manager. And it also turns out that the cash finance bro from the office building is just there inexplicably as well. And the number two henchman for the Misfits, all three of them were doing it. And the inspector takes them off to jail.
Yeah, they've been doing illegal shit. That's what happens.
Building inspector, an independent contractor, have the authority under the law to take people to jail.
I feel like there is some serious child endangerment here, so he certainly could call the cops on them.
But he doesn't. I don't know that he should have handcuffs
on.
He's Judge Dredd. He is the law.
New York's a wild place in the 80s.
Damn, someone's really coughing it up back there.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, and then because we're in it now. We're in the soup. Lightning strikes the inflatable concert hall and destroys it.
That is a common danger. That's why most of the professionals don't go inflatable.
Oh, my God. Then we have our final gem video. It's called It's Showtime. We're at the concert. The Misfits show is canceled. Gem has, of course, a hit show. And can we hear a little bit of the last song? We might as well. We're here and all.
Chance, so disgusted.
Enters in, we can change it and add some light. We can change it when the fears and doubts begin. We can change it and make it right. There's so much we can do.
I
honestly, not bad.
Unclear what we're changing. The whole song, like
badness.
Badness.
Your underwear.
Bad people.
Are you? The world is. We're changing to be better.
Yeah, that's a good message for kids.
But we're like the things that they're changing are like the scary things. We can change the scary things in ice, but I thought that scary was good. So what are we changing here?
I think it's like earlier it was like about like fake scary things. It was like, ooh, like spooky masks. And now it's like, yeah, but every once in a while there's like a bad dude who tries to crush a woman with a pumpkin cut out, and that's bad.
Okay.
But you're not changing him. You're just
going to jail. And then that woman's life is a little bit brighter because she doesn't have to be worried. I would love to not have to worry about getting crushed by giant pumpkin cutouts from random men.
You will. I got good news for you. Be safe from that, Gina. Just so you know.
This is ultimately how I'm going to die.
Not the world we live in. I'm sorry.
I did right here. I honestly really like the visuals on these videos. I thought they did a really good job with the budget they had of making these at least feel like actual music videos.
Yeah, they're always good. This was always a strong point of the series.
Yeah, I do. I want to give Gem a lot of credit. Look, and I loved this episode. Just for the record, this one did break my brain. This one did make me take one point of horror.
As if every cartoon we've watched since the start of this podcast hasn't broken your brain or confused you in some way.
Gina, sometimes more than others. And this just, the more I started to break it down and the less sense it made, the deeper that the strings got loose, I feel myself contorting in madness over here. Also, the Opera House is saved to pay the back taxes. He says, I'm just going to open it now, and we're going to put on plays. And in my head, I'm like, not operas, you dumbass. It's an opera house.
I mean, an opera is just a play with singing.
I mean.
He was dumbing it down for the kids.
I guess, but we can't call it a playhouse because that's something different.
They are called opera houses, Ray, and they don't exclusively put on operas, by the way.
But they often do.
And
I mean,
this guy is not adept at them. He likes making plays. Let him make his goddamn plays. He owns the place.
Yeah. And also the cat's name is, I think, Phantom, and it approves of Terry, who approves of the cat, and she has changed as a person. As a result of this episode.
I mean, she better. I still think like when she's a freshman in college, she's going to get really into walking to her classes barefoot because that's how she connects to the earth. And then at some point she's going to step on something rusty and her roommate's going to be like, hey, you probably should get a tetanus shot. And she's like, oh no, tetanus is a myth made up by Big Pharma.
I have this this crystal. I want to rub on it instead.
This all checks out.
Also, like, people, when you're driving and somebody has their bare feet sticking out the passenger window.
I mean, I legit, like, went to college with a couple of girls who walked everywhere barefoot.
Oh, God.
And someone was like, oh, it's like they've built up calluses, so now it's fine. And I was like, that is not how shit works.
That is unhealthy.
Yeah, of course it's unhealthy. I'm sure they both have worms.
Whoa.
But if they have calluses, does that mean they can play the guitar with their feet?
Probably.
That sounds super sexy.
Anyway, this is the Gem Halloween episode. We have more Halloween coming for all y'all. I won't tell you what it is, but we have it and it's coming. I hope you like this. Does anybody have anything they want to plug before we get out the door?
Butts?
Besides these crickets. Well, if you felt like you can go to patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. Honestly, thank you for supporting the show, those of you guys on there. We love you all.
Apparently not Ray. He's not responding to your Threads comments.
I've responded to every Threads comment. so I don't know what you're talking about. I did a great job right there.
I have not.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsy, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.